Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
Yeah, all my pals out going to the cinema and I'm in my hospital bed wearing these adult nappies with my hair falling out and I had nits. First time I've ever had nits. Kick a girl while she's down.
It's not just right. How do I survive in this situation? How can I thrive in that situation? You obviously found that opportunity despite the situation I found myself in.
Lots of people are struggling. It's okay. They are, but like it's okay not to be okay, but also it's not okay. Like you're worth owing it to yourself to talk to people and get the help you need.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
The home of the UK's conversation about mental health. Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Oh, I sound a bit echoey today, don't I? I'm echoing all over the place. I'm having to record the podcast intro in a slightly different place to where I've recorded the rest of the podcast. Oh, for various different reasons that I won't get into. But it involves building work. It involves the car exhaust falling off my car. It involves a week-long holiday in Cornwall, which went on for a little bit longer than anticipated. If you ever bump into me in the street, ask me. I'll tell you the full story. But for now, I'm actually in my mum and dad's kitchen, believe it or not. So I've got, there's a ticking clock there. I've got a really squeaky seat. That's no good, is it, at all? But I've got all my kit set up here because my usual spot is not currently available, again, for reasons that I won't get into. I've got such a good guest on the podcast this week, Paralympian Amy Conroy. Now, Amy is an absolutely brilliant advocate for positive mental health. She's had a really, really tough time of it. And her story is a powerful reminder of resilience and the strength of the human spirit. Now, check this out. She was diagnosed with having cancer at the age of 13. And she'd already, by that point, lost her grandparents, her mum, and her uncle to cancer. So can you imagine getting that diagnosis at that age? And then coming through it, she lost part of a leg in a battle against cancer as well. And at that age, how do you begin to get your head around what's going on to you, as well as dealing with the grief, the emotion, also trying to anticipate what life is going to be like for you? But she took things to the next level. She discovered wheelchair basketball. It gave her a new sense of purpose, confidence, self-esteem, and actually took that to the Paralympic Games, which is just a wonderful, wonderful thing to do, to become a Paralympic gold champion. Now, I caught up with Amy on the day that the AXA Mind Health Study was revealed. And this was a major study with countries from across the globe, 30,000 people who were interviewed as part of this. And actually, from a UK point of view, painted a really bleak picture. More than a fifth of UK adults are in emotional distress, describe themselves as struggling, while a quarter have an absence of positive well-being, described in the study as languishing. This is the language that we're talking about people living their lives. You know, one person there admitting that there was nothing left in the tank. You know, this really summarizes what we're up against now with people suffering from burnout, stress, anxiety, and all of those things. Life is really tough for a lot of people at the moment. And I guess this conversation is about looking at when the worst does happen, how can you find your way through? What are those things that you can do to put yourself on a slightly better path? And Amy's the perfect person to speak to. And I started off by talking to Amy about the fact it must have been so difficult to be diagnosed with cancer at the age of 13, particularly after having lost her mum earlier in her life.
Yeah, it took about a year to be diagnosed, back and forth to the doctors, sent home with sports brain or growing pains. And so by the point of diagnosis, I was given a 50% chance of survival. I'd already lost my mum to cancer. So at that point, I kind of thought, oh, cripes, you know, this is it. A year in hospital, kind of with some tough times. There were some touch and go times. I was pretty sick, but my dad is my absolute kind of hero role model still to this day, and I'm just so lucky that I've got someone like him who stayed with me every night and just taught me some life lessons on how to tackle the tough times that have kind of helped me going forward.
Yeah, real tough times, obviously, what you were going through. But as you mentioned as well, yeah, the C word in your family, cancer, had meant really devastating things as well. You'd already lived through those things.
Yeah, and I mean, kind of just for context, while my mum was dying of cancer, my dad was working full time, raising two young girls, but just kind of really embodied like a positive mindset and not always just focusing on what there were quite a lot of negative times. And just he got a lot of strength through gratitude and kindness, and I just have a lot of respect for him.
I think that's so sweet. And I think, the idea that, dad was there at that time, we all need that support, don't we? And I guess, as a 13-year-old going through that, you wanted to be the 13-year-old with ambition and aspiration and hope and joy, but you were also faced with the reality of what might be coming. And I guess for a 13-year-old's brain to deal with that, it must have been pulling in loads of different directions.
Yeah, all my pals out going to the cinema, and I'm in my hospital bed wearing these adult nappies with my hair falling out, and I had nits. First time I've ever had nits. Kick a girl while she's down, running over my bald head. That wasn't the grand plan.
No,
But I think he
absolutely
also taught
not.
me kind of sometimes a sense of humour as well, not to kind of invalidate anything, but just sometimes it can take just a bit of the darkness out of things as we all go through tough times, like. You know, life isn't fair. No one said it would be, but that doesn't mean it's not within our power to kind of do what we can and owe it to ourselves to put ourselves in the most kind of flourishing, thriving position, which is what this mind health meter is trying to do. It's saying, you know, it's not your fault when life kind of goes a bit wrong, but it is your responsibility to know kind of signs in yourself if you think yourself start to struggle, nip it in the bud, and just keep yourself as happy as possible in simple terms, which is kind of what we're all striving for at the end of the day, just, you know, happiness.
Yeah, sure. That idea of, contentment in life is such a huge thing. Can I ask you though, from that resilience point of view, was there a moment for you where you thought, right, I'm plowing on through this? I'm not saying as a 13-year-old, I don't think it's in a 13-year-old's mind to sort of think, I'll just give up now. But was there a moment where you thought, no, actually, there's a future for me and there's a fight here which I can win? Was there a moment where you can specifically remember that being an opportunity?
I think it maybe, strangely, it was kind of when I was told I was going to have my leg amputated and kind of realized, kind of, you know, it's obviously normal to feel sad and let yourself feel the feelings for mental health. But after a few days, I was thinking kind of a pity party wasn't going to get me anywhere. And then I kind of was surprised by myself a little bit. Sorry, that sounds really arrogant, but just almost that kind of trust in yourself. And we all have this kind of strength of character within us, and when kind of as nice as it is when life's cushy and going well, they're not the times that kind of help us grow and get this kind of resilience coat of armor. So it's almost when you, if anyone listening to this is going through a really tough time and it's feeling bleak and your back's up against the wall and you're like, where is the light at the end of this tunnel? Kind of firstly remembering those times will pass, but also these are the times that are going to teach you strength, and then you can look back and think, if I can make it through that, I can trust myself to make it through anything. And life feels a bit less scary because you have that trust in yourself, like, yeah, I'm a bad bottom.
That's a new phrase there. We'll get some t-shirts made up with
Apologies.
that put on. Can I ask you from that point of hearing about wheelchair, and I guess there's a point where a wheelchair is rolled into the room that you're in and you're thinking, this is my future. There's one thing I have against thinking, right, how can I cope or survive living in this seat? But then you did something else, which is, right, what can I achieve in this seat? And then suddenly you're on a pathway to, Paralympic glory. Is that a mindset shift where you've got to think it's not just, right, how do I survive in this situation? How can I thrive in that situation? You obviously found that opportunity. It didn't come easy to in the first stages, I understand it. But then to think, actually, I can do something, with these wheels. I can do something despite the situation I found myself in.
Definitely. I think full disclosure, kind of with social media these days, as we can see from this study, it can take its toll on people's mind health, and you often only see the end part of the journey, kind of where people have, you know, three Paralympics or whatever. But actually, full disclosure, I was awful when I first started. And I'd spent a lot of time learning to walk. I was really self-conscious about having a prosthetic leg. I just wanted to be kind of, in quotation marks, normal, like every other 14-year-old kid, really embarrassed about my disability. I didn't want to play a disability sport. I thought that's going to be lame. Actually, it turned out to be brilliant. There were lots of tough times where I had to pick myself back up, loads of setbacks. I guess I leant on my why quite a lot. Like, I knew this was what I wanted. And in the times where it was really tough and I was just exhausted, thinking, should I stop now? I kind of digged into my why, like, no, I want this. But all the times people have thought, you know, you can't do that. You know, the pitying looks that I had this morning when I couldn't get into Costa because of a few steps, kind of proving people wrong, proving to myself, for my dad as well, who'd been there through the whole journey. So I think having your why helps you with your fight. Because, you know, as this study shows, one in five people are struggling right now, and it can be exhausting. And it's not always kind of easier said than done. If you're struggling to get out of bed, kind of going to the gym every day might feel too much. But I think having small, manageable goals, holding yourself accountable to that, even starting with five press ups a day and sticking with that. And also taking the time to check in with yourself and be proud of yourself, like, this is tough, but I'm trust myself to get through it.
Can I share in regard to that? Because sometimes people go, "Oh, Amy's fine now because she's a Paralympic champion. We saw her on the TV." And I wonder whether or not actually, if we talk a lot on the program about people going on a journey with their mental health, I wonder whether or not actually that's still a part of it. That obviously there's still the grief from when you were a child, you know, maybe grief for a life that you don't lead. Those day-to-day inconveniences, you know, not being able to get into a coffee shop as a result of being in a wheelchair. I think maybe we also need to understand that people like yourself are still going through so many of those issues. And just because there's a Paralympic medal around your neck, it doesn't mean that your journey is complete. And oh, she's fine now because she did that thing we saw on Channel 4.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I think mental health is like physical health, as in you always have to look after it. And I think if people have the mindset of, oh, once you're fine, that could be a bit dangerous, and you might be frustrated at yourself. But yeah, I since learning to walk, kind of the past 15 years, I've always walked around with my prosthetic, and for the last 4 months, I've got some type of pain. We can't diagnose it yet, and I'm using a day chair for the first time. And there were a first few days where I was like, oh, you know, I couldn't really leave my house, it wasn't very accessible, I was a bit woe is me with all my deliveries. But again, just trying to check in with myself, self-kindness as well, but also kind of, okay, well, good parts are I do have a wheelchair, finally it's giving me a kick up the butt to, you know, have more confidence with it. Going out in London, it is a bit tough, but I was always a bit self-conscious to do it. So it's making me get out of my comfort zone, making me grow as a person, and kind of seeing the silver linings within it. You know, I'm fortunate that I only sometimes have to use a wheelchair. Like, that's what's kind of helping me. Might not resonate with anyone, and sound a bit cheesy, but I think just noticing the good things, sometimes we can have a habit of focusing on the stuff that's going wrong.
How important is it that you spot these things upstream, if you like, that you might notice, so I'm not having a good day today, or these frustrations are all starting to back up? Have you sort of taught yourself ways of just going, right, hang on a minute, I'm heading into that space a little bit?
Absolutely. And it's a working process. There are many times where I've hit the wall. I think that's why this mind health meter is so good, because it's teaching you kind of, it's not one size fit all, but know yourself. So for me, maybe it's kind of my sleep's not as good. I might be noticing I'm isolating myself a bit from family and friends. Things that don't normally stress me do more. And it's like, hang on a second, I need to just stop for a sec, see what's going wrong, what can I change, what's in my control, rather than letting it spiral. And I just love how this study is proactive with that, rather than just doom and gloom. Lots of people are struggling. It's okay, they are, but that's like, it's okay not to be okay, but also it's not okay. Like, you're worth, you know, owing it to yourself to talk to people and get the help you need. And also just kind of advocating, talking to people and reaching out. Kind of the stickiest times I've gone through in my life, I've been so fortunate to have people around me. And there's something that I went through that I didn't speak to anyone about. And that's the hardest thing, hands down, that I've been through. So just the power of speaking to people and getting that courage. And this study also shows that the stigma is going down. Still, there's 45% believe the stigma's not. So we've got some work to do, but I think just be a kind person, don't judge others, is a good motto.
Great advice. And I wanted to ask you from that mental health point of view, you know, when people will follow your story and they'll presume that every conversation you've ever had with a GP or a health professional has been purely around the sort of the physicality. And it's interesting there that you've touched on there that you're aware of yourself. I don't know if it's a diagnosis thing or if it's just an awareness that you have of your own mental health, that there is another story, and it goes sort of hand in hand with our physical health, that our mental health has got to be right up there too.
And I think I learned the hard way during lockdown. My dad was really sick and we nearly lost him. And that's the first time when all my usual techniques weren't really working. And it was really uncomfortable, but I was kind of, for me, just like showing vulnerability and saying, hang on, I'm not okay right now, to my teammates, and not seeing that as a weakness, I think is a really powerful thing. And it also brought us together on like a deeper connection level. So with kind of work colleagues, friends, like, vulnerability is a strength and it connects us deeper. Even though it's tough, it's absolutely worth it. If anyone listening now is struggling with that, just it is worth it. It's tough, but you deserve the help.
When it comes to team sports, Amy, I wanted to ask you about that as well, because so many people talk to me about feeling like they want to be part of something. That if you feel isolated and you feel like you're not sort of engaging with society, you feel low, because you feel like when you put something out there, nothing comes back, and it's almost like the world doesn't even know you exist. You're involved in a team sport, and I wanted to sort of get your idea of how psychologically that works for you, because of course, literally in a team, if you don't do your bit, your team loses. But if you do your bit, your team can win. And when you do win, you can have incredible success together. And I wonder whether or not that's a really good example that we can use, that you can play a part. It doesn't have to be in a team sport. You can play a part within a community, and it can bring benefits. And I wanted to just hear your experience of feeling like you were part of something in something like a team sport.
Definitely. I think being in a team sport's kind of changed my whole outlook on myself, and not to sound cheesy, but my disability. When I first had this dream to play for GB, and the coach told me you'd have to take your leg off to play, and I thought absolutely not. I was mortified at the idea, and it was kind of being in a team environment, seeing other people kind of do this and not have kind of a care in the world about it, or what it looked like from the outside, was just it was such a motivation. And so I think being around like-minded people who have similar values and purpose, because in the busy world, we can sometimes lose touch with our values. So I think that's really important, checking with your purpose. But also in the team dynamic, there are kind of tough times. It does add extra kind of pressures and stress. So any kind of workplace that's dealing with that, that is normal, but it just means it helps you, encourages you to communicate more, I guess. And to really know each other on a deep level is quite special. Tough to get there, but it definitely helped me kind of accept having one leg and thinking, yeah, you know, I'm still going to aim to achieve or go for everything I can. If I fall short, at least I went for it.
I'll ask this as sensitively as I can. Is there a level of humour which exists within, say, a Paralympic basketball team about sort of physicalities and the things you're going through, which wouldn't fly if we had that conversation now, or if I tried to engage? Do you see the sort of question I'm trying to ask? Like, yeah. is that an outlet for you sometimes when you think about your own hangups and your own issues around appearance or your experience? And then you go into a room with people who have had similar types of experience, but I guess their issues, their hangups, their sort of trigger points might be a little bit different. And I guess that throws up all sorts of both difficult, but also, I imagine, quite funny moments.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it's incredibly un-PC in our changing rooms. But I think that's just a nice thing, because I think people never want to offend, and it comes from a good place. But sometimes people can be really awkward around disability. It's a bit of an elephant in the room sometimes, and people are just so worried about saying the wrong thing that it becomes kind of very careful. And then when you first join a room of disabled people, and I think one of the first things I saw, someone had thrown someone else's prosthetic leg up into the hoop, and they were like hopping trying to get it. And I think my dad was horrified about it. But it's just like, no, it's just kind of, I guess humour is such a great way, because there are tough times in life. But if you can kind of laugh about, I don't know, my prosthetic leg makes these fart noises, which was really embarrassing when I sit down on the tube. But just if you can kind of find the humour in these things, it makes it sometimes feel a bit less deep and bringing you down. But yeah, got some of the insults that we get, I think some people would be horrified.
Like I say, you don't have to give them away, but I just wanted to sort of try and tap into that world a little bit. Given all your experience, if someone was to say, well, let's go back and like start all over again, I guess, do you kind of go, well, actually, this is my life, I can take ownership? Obviously, there'll be things that you maybe change and so on and so forth. But do you feel like you can really sort of own your journey, and that people who are going through difficult times as well don't need to write off big sections of their life, that they can still say, well, actually, this is my story, if you like? And I wonder whether or not that's maybe something that we struggle as a society to frame, because we always think bad times, move on, try and forget about them. We don't think bad times, and I'm here and now I'm doing this, or and I'm here and I'm hoping to achieve this in the future, knowing that the bad times were part of that story.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, I'm sort of, it sounds cheesy to say, but proud of kind of, you know, having my little leg that's been amputated. There are definitely times Only recently, for the first time ever, when I haven't been able to walk, I just thought, oh, life would be a lot simpler, a lot less kind of, if I could not be in pain right now. But also, I think differences are so powerful. We all have these different stories, and everyone has been or will go through tough times. And it just adds more to your character, makes you see the world in a different view. And I just think it's so important to be your own hype man, check back on everything you've been through, because often life is so busy, we forget, we get through the tough times, then we move on to the next. I think, oh, where else can I go? What's my next goal? Rather than taking a pause, kind of enjoying the journey, where you're at on the journey. Have a laugh around a bowl of chips if it's not going that well, if everything seems to be flopping. But yeah, I think having like pride in yourself also holds you accountable, because you can kind of be honest with yourself and think, okay, I'm letting myself get away with a few excuses right now, and I want to step up for me because I owe it to myself.
I love that. That's the sports star mindset there is kicking in. I can almost hear your coach's voice. The other thing, I guess, to say as well, the CEBR research, they've interviewed 30,000 people, and most of them are flagging with an issue. So sometimes we can feel so alone and so isolated when we're dealing with this, that actually you might feel like you're alone and it's only you. This research just goes to prove, particularly in the UK, unfortunately, it's not just you. And absolutely, you're not alone.
Yeah, I think knowing you're not alone is the first step into making it easier to speaking out, thinking, okay, other people feel like this. So yeah, I think the fact that the stigma is going down as well. I love how this study have also referred to mental health as mind health, because there can be negative connotations, whereas just like physical health, everyone has kind of mind health, and there is absolutely no shame in struggling. It's just not accepting that and knowing you deserve more is the approach this has taken, and that's why I'm just so excited to be here backing it, as I really do think it's brilliant.
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll put a link in the podcast notes to the research where people can find out some more information. Interesting, the UK has the highest rates of poor mental health. Part of me wonders whether or not that's partly because people in the UK are a little bit more attuned to the conversation now, that maybe they're recognising that they get asked in a survey about feelings of depression, isolation, loneliness. Maybe they're a little bit more aware of it. But equally, I think we don't do ourselves too many favours in this country, do we, in terms of making things difficult for people unnecessarily. So maybe that's a little bit of homework for the rest of the country to get on. In the meantime, Amy, what's next for you? Training, you mentioned sort of the issues you're going through at the moment. Is that sort of a bit of an ongoing journey before you're sort of back out on court?
Yeah, it's been 4 months so far. So I'm doing what I can medical-wise. Hopefully like an operation or something will help. But when I'm back on 2 feet, to speak, I've got a blade leg now. I'd love to learn to run. And pretty much just going for things and seeing what happens is my main plan. I haven't got a 5-year plan. We've got our world championships in June. It's the next big milestone.
So you've just given us a hint there of an exclusive. Is that a potential move to the track, do you think?
Basketball has my heart, but I used to be a runner and I've always wanted to try running again. So I just thought I have to scratch the itch. It might be terrible, but I've finally got a blade leg. And if anything, it just looks really cool, I think. For the Tinder profile, shine it up.
That's fantastic. And have you been out on the track? Have you been out on the track with it? Have you run with it? Does it feel good? Does it bring back those memories of running? What's it like?
I mean, annoyingly, I was working quite hard to get one. They're quite expensive. Axa sort of helped me manage to get one. Little plug there. But unfortunately, the leg issues have come at the time when I finally got my shiny, gorgeous baby in my midst. So I will. I've got a lot of excitement and motivation. So as soon as I'm back, able to weight bear, I'm absolutely going to see if I'm any good or not.
Do you know a distance? Have you picked a distance, or have you got something in mind that you used to really enjoy doing?
I used to do 800 meters, did not enjoy it at all. It was sheer hell, but seemed to be okay at it. So I think I would like to be speed. I've gone for the most unstable but quickest blade. So it's potential for disaster and falling on your face, but potential to fly with it. So
most unstable but quickest. That's another motto, yep. And t-shirt that we can get made up.
You're not referring to mental health. Unstable but quick.
Yeah, that would be, that might be a little bit, it takes a bit too much explaining,
that
that one,
might be
doesn't
not
it?
the
Might,
real way to run it. Yeah.
that might go back down the un-PC route. Well, Amy, we wish you all the best with that. That sounds like a fantastic sort of endeavour as well. Really something to hopefully look forward to. We wish you all the best with sort of your ongoing issues as they stand at the moment. And thanks for being so honest as well about your own sort of mental health journey and your story so far. I'm sure people will hear your story and think, you know, really, really inspirational. We'll get a link to your social media profiles up on the podcast links. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you too. You have such good energy.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.